So today is Tuesday, the 19th. 20 already? 19th of November 2019. Never mind, you super fast one day. So the contractor received that time. Future. So today, everybody is surprised by the banana. I also surprised. My wife also surprised. Ask the fruit seller, why so big? Don't know. Exceptional, huh? Never before. And very nice, golden. So maybe meant to be. I say you all will bring this time one each. Cannot take too many. Yeah, it's big enough. It is very nice. Fragrant. Ho Hyung. Okay, let us get ready for puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Huang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Huang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Huang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can visit that. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara เวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรยาปะจาปะมาดัตานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิ Now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarappa dittena dippena tamadangsina diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayuttena dupenahang suganghinaPujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bacana muttamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami monindasa Siripada sarorohePujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idhang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivase tuno bhante.Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamangadivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light.May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.That cools and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transference of merits. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Jam. Bedang Pujayami Damang Pujayami Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of silent awareness meditation. We are of the light. For those who already know how to meditate, yeah, you can straight away proceed. Just relax, maintain awareness, silence everything. Then let the mind settle down. Then you will be in the meditative state soon, because you already have your spiritual faculties developed. And for those who still need to train the mind, maybe you can use the mind sweeping method combined with metta, loving kindness. Then finally anchor the sati or mindfulness to any object of meditation that you are familiar with. If you have no particular object of meditation, you can use anapana sati. Anapana sati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. You just relax body and mind, silent everything, and maintain awareness in front of the nostril. Then when you detect the breath, breathing in, your mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Just do that. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Wanders off, bring it back. Maintain awareness. That's it. Don't try to know. You just allow it to be. Then the anapanasati will stabilize. Then your awareness and the breath move as one. Then you will feel very calm, very peaceful. Then relax into it and allow the anapanasati to become more and more refined. Then you will experience piti. Piti is a type of spiritual calmness born of the mind in sati. Sometimes people call it the spiritual joy. It's a type of joy. Or the mind, if you experience it for the first time, it's like the mind rapture. You feel very good. The spiritual calmness, peacefulness. So you just relax into it, maintain awareness, and let it be. Then as the breathing become more and more refined, the piti will transform into a more refined state of bliss. They call it sukhang. And when you experience sukhang, most of the time you are in this long breath, but you are very mindful. Then every breath is like very clear to you. Then you just develop the anapanasati, stabilize the mindfulness until it become very stable. Initially, you can also go into absorption through continuous mindfulness and stay there. Stay in that state of calmness, peacefulness. Then you relax everything until the mind finally become very subtle, very quiet, very peaceful. Then you will later experience pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, which is just tranquil, still, with the awareness within. So you just continue to train your mind until this thing happens. Then mind sweeping method, I think most of you should be familiar by now. You just relax body and mind, silent everything. Close your eyes, make sure your backbone is straight. Then relax. Maintain peacefulness. Close the eye, feel. Don't think, just feel. Feel your forehead. If there's any tension, tightness or stress within, just relax, relax and relax into it. Feel it suddenly relax. Then sweep your mind down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel, relax. Then sweep it down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Feel, relax. Then in order to help you to relax better, you can radiate a radiant smile. Visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can visualize yourself radiating this radiant smile, there is joy in your heart. So with that joy, you naturally relax. Because when there is joy, you cannot be in the state of tense or tension. So just radiate the radiant smile, then relax into it. Then you can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite, feel it. When you recite, may I, this body and mind, you feel your body and mind, be well and happy. Means your entire body, every cells of it having this well-being and happiness. Then your mind stays still. Feel your mind having this well-being and happiness. Then you can repeat it for one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can extend this metta to your loved ones. May all my loved ones be well and happy, well and happy. Without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may their body and mind too be free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can extend this metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, including all kayamitas, may they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May their body and mind to be free from all suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. Then finally, we will extend this metta to all beings throughout the existence. May all beings within the whole of SS2, Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our planet, Mother Earth, then all beings within our solar system, galaxy, our Milky Way, extending to all beings throughout the entire existence or universe. May they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to Be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free of all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. By now you should be more calm and peaceful. So you come back to your facial muscle, just feel, don't think, feel. Relax. Then shift your attention now to your neck, feel, relax. Then shoulder, feel, relax. Then hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your chest area or your heart area. Relax everything. Maintain awareness. Just feel. Silence your mind and feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. Just stay there. Don't do anything. Maintain awareness. Silence everything. Don't try to know. Just aware. Whatever vibration or heartbeat, just the awareness and the thing as one. Just maintain that moment to moment of awareness. Stay there. But if you are new, if your sati or mindfulness is not stable yet, then maybe you are not sensitive and you cannot feel. If that is the case, then you just, like you feel your forehead, you feel your heart area. Just relax into it. Wherever you can detect any tension, tightness or stress within, just relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Your leg, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Then you can reverse this mind sweeping method. Up from buttock, feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. Then move your attention to your abdomen, feel, relax. Your stomach, do the same, feel, relax. Then your heart area, silence everything, just feel, relax. Then move your attention to your shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Neck, feel, relax. Then facial muscle, feel each and every strand, relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then move your attention to your eye muscle, again, feel, relax. Then your forehead, feel, relax. By now you should be calm, should be peaceful. So whatever object of meditation that you use to anchor your mind, you can now use it to anchor your mindfulness or your awareness. The silent mind that is just aware is your meditative mind, your true mind. Just maintain awareness. Where that true mind is nature, is just aware, nothing else. It's just an awareness nature within. So I will let you continue to train and meditate that way. Then as your anapanasati stabilizes, you will experience all those peaceful and beautiful mind state like I mentioned earlier on, until your mind enters sati, or until you experience pasati. Then you can just relax and just maintain that inner silent awareness to meditate. When you have that type of mind, you can understand many things. You can be aware of all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha described under the teaching, arising and passing away within your form and mind. So I will stop the instruction now. Then I will set the alarm. After about half an hour, the alarm will be triggered off. Okay. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakravalisu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam munirajasa sunanto sakkamokkhadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahaṃ sammasambuddho. Veja charana sampano sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati Suakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabbo venohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidam chattari purisa yogani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakheneyo anjali karaneyo anutarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu 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 Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhaṃ pujayami. Dhammaṃ pujayami. Sanghaṃ pujayami. Okay. You can be seated. Then we will continue with our second session. that day we stop at page 612, chapter 42. Yeah. The four sublime state, Brahma Vihara. Before that, I think I sent out one our last Sunday Dhamma talk at HJBA. There is the outline short note. I think. Outline short note for our Sunday Dhamma talk at HJBA. Understanding life, its meaning and purpose from a Buddhist perspective at HJBA. Okay, I will forward this one to you all. Okay, I just send it to our Maikayanamita. Oh, this one, the format is different. Okay, we quickly go through this one first. Outline short notes for Brother Theo's Dhamma talk on understanding life, its meaning and purpose from a Buddhist perspective at SJBA on the 17th November 2019. So this one, the short note is very beautiful, very interesting. I actually edited it because when Manyuan did it, I think she didn't have the chance to listen to the recording. So she just write what she believed she had picked up. But I have actually added in the missing link. So most of them are here. To live life, we must understand life. So this is most important. If you don't understand life, there is no way you can live your life. Only then can we establish its meaning and purpose. Its meaning and purpose depend on the individual's life priority, as everyone is different. But as a Buddhist, we are indeed very blessed and fortunate because we have our great teacher, Lord Buddha's rather unique and wonderful teaching to guide us. The essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths, and these are the truths that can enable one to realize the awakening and become noble ones or enlightened ones called Aryas. It can also enable one to understand the secret of life, the meaning of life, both the mundane and the supramundane aspect. These enlightened beings, which we call Aryas or noble beings, are always mindful, heedful, constantly aware, and in the state of samadhi. They can see things as they are because they had awakened to the truth. They are very noble in all aspects of life. They had the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factors of right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. They have no more problem with life because they do not suffer anymore. And all negativity or mind states such as fear, anxiety, anger, etc., they cannot arise in them as they can live life with understanding. Such a life is rather unique and wonderful. Then life can be rather meaningful, beautiful, and uplifting with a lot of joy if one knows how to live it with understanding. Live life to the fullest to experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life within the moment. Instead of recalling our unhappy past like the scars of memory to become sad, and projecting our thought to arise the fear to worry about life. Each and every one of us, we hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or unhappy is our choice. So choose wisely, choose to be happy, following Dhammapada verse 2. Just like the saying of the famous song, go, don't worry, be happy. So you can have that type of attitude, then you can avoid Dhammapada verse 1, which leads to suffering. People who has problem, they are not happy. So they worry a lot. So that song is very good. Don't worry, be happy. So you can have that type of understanding and mood. Your life is much, much better. Wow, how come the thing just go off like that? Wow, this new iPhone, every time I have to on it back. I have to learn how to use it. But it's a very good phone. Not number 8. Then why are most people still not happy and peaceful? Not to say they don't know how to choose. It is because they are deluded. And they lack this Dhamma understanding to understand life. If you don't understand life, how can you live life? So as Buddhists, we are really very blessed and very fortunate. Then Bradtail proceed to explain the popular Maslow's need hierarchy followed by people of the West. So the Western culture, they have this special Maslow's need hierarchy, which is quite good. It's a management theory. So those who study management, you must have heard of this. So this Maslow's need theory is very good. It identifies the needs of individual, starting from very basic level. Then as you develop more fortunate situation and condition, then your needs become different. So according to Maslow's needs theory, the first basic need is food and shelter. So initially, having food on the table and a roof over their head is priority, especially during our father's generation, our parents' generation. Then after they have this basic need, they will look for job security. Means they will look for a more secure and better paid job. Then after having job security, they will heighten their needs by looking at the opportunity to have a sense of belonging and love. Means to have good relationship with someone or starting a family, etc. So this is the level where most people are at after they have a successful job, successful maybe career. Then they will look forward to have a sense of belonging and love to start a family. Then the next need will be higher. They also look for self-esteem, seeking status, prestige, recognition, leading to a sense of accomplishment. This one is usually during your career phase. Career phase means it can be working for somebody, like doing your job, or you are doing your business. Then after you have developed the self-esteem, you go to the next level, which is self-actualization. You seek the highest fulfillment in life. What an individual wants to achieve in life, their highest human ideal. So for us Buddhists, this one is spiritual. But for normal beings, it's mainly mundane type of aspiration. Sometimes they are in the field of politics, they want to reach the highest post that they believe they can achieve, like the prime minister or president of a country. Then for people who play games or sport, they want to become world champion. First, maybe within your own country. Then you excel to become better, and you try to go for the world title. Okay, that is Maslow's need theory. The above are mainly mundane needs, and if you gain them through crooked means, then there will be karmic consequence. But you gain them via the Dharma way, which is the righteous way, then your life will be good and beautiful. When one progresses following the above Maslow's need hierarchy, there is this constant craving for further success. Sometimes this happens at the expense of their own health, as the progression is performed not following the Dharma way. Then along the way, whenever they cannot get what they want or crave for, they will suffer. Take for example, there can only be one eligible person for a particular promotion, or only one champion for any particular event or tournament. So many of them will fail to achieve what they wanted badly. If you do not understand this truth, you will suffer. Especially so when you are not the one being promoted or the champion after doing your best. You may not be able to accept the reality of what happened, then you will suffer. Then note 13, essence of the Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths. This one I think by now most of us already have the good understanding. First Noble Truth relates the eight realities of life and existence. And they are birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from loved ones and one's prized possession, when we are with people whom we don't like, when we cannot get what we want, and finally, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. So due to self-delusion, living beings grasp and cling to the five aggregates of form and mind, resulting in suffering when they encounter the above eight realities without the Dhamma understanding. So the First Noble Truth explained to us the eight conditions or the eight reality where each and every living being need to confront if you live long enough. Then also these eight conditions, they will also bring about suffering if you don't have the wisdom when you encounter them. Then second noble truth. Second noble truth, the cause of suffering, the Buddha say, is craving, born of self-delusion. Then there is this third noble truth. The Buddha say, suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Nibbana can be realized. Then we have the fourth noble truth, which is the way out of suffering. So if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So this Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then we need to train the mind to be heedful to heed the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. The Buddha said, when mind arises, everything arises. If we do not train the mind to be heedful, we will act, speak, and think heedlessly with an evil mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then suffering will follow us. That is also why we need to keep the precept to look after our karma. Then as a true Buddhist, we will know how to develop the success in life following the Dhamma way. The first 25 years, days consists of our childhood and education phase of life. So the first success we normally strive for is academic success. Then during the second 25 years, our career phase of life, we strive for career success. Yeah. Hopefully to reach the pinnacle of our career life. Then the third phase, the third 25 years old, which is the retirement phase. Normally during this phase, before we retire, we should be able to achieve financial freedom. So financial success is one of the basic needs before retirement, so that we can do what we like to do during this retirement phase. This is followed by our need to develop the fourth success, which is relationship success, so that we can have a good family unit and good relationship with our loved ones, our spouse, our children, our parents, and others. And finally, achieving the highest human ideal, to realize the spiritual success or enlightenment in the here and now. The realization of the truth leading to enlightenment in the here and now. The first to the fourth successes are materialistic in nature, whereas the last one, the fifth one, is spiritual. Then point number 15. Our average lifespan is about 75 years old. So divide it into three phases of 25 years old. The first phase, childhood and student phase, the first 25 years, we normally have a lot of time and energy, but usually not enough money. So these are the years where we call it the happy-go-lucky years, or phase of life, because we don't have to work, we don't have to worry about anything, our parents will take care of everything. We just play, then study. Then second phase is the career phase, second 25. So during this time we work. We are too busy working for money. So we have a lot of energy. Then we make quite a lot of money. But we don't have time for our family, for our own holiday or whatever. Then sometimes not enough rest. Then third phase is the retirement phase. This phase, because of our financial freedom, we have money and a lot of time, but we are no longer young, so we lack energy. So we cannot enjoy our life if we don't have proper health during this phase. And the most important thing is also this phase, the third 25 is not guaranteed. Do you understand? Not necessary you will live up to 75 years old. Sometimes people die before the age of 51. So don't take for granted. Then, I didn't really write it here, but during the sharing, the talk, I did mention this. What are the active years which you feel you can still travel and do a lot of things, means you still have the necessary health and other things? So usually before the age of 70, you are still okay, because now at 65 I am still good, everything is still very good health wise maybe that is the blessing. So if let's say up to 70, you retire before 50, you still have how many years? 20 years old or good life. Yeah. Retirement life to do what you want to do. Yeah. So that you can have more time to your family, more time to travel, to do the thing that you like to do in life. Then you have more time to achieve things. Yeah. So this is how you develop the understanding of life. Yeah. Then also the third phase, if you have the means, if you have the money, you must know how to use them. Yeah. How many of you think you know how to use money? Yeah. This part I forgot to share at the talk there because I don't have enough time. I rushed through towards the end. I saw the clock. It was already more than 1 hour. How many of you believe, yeah, you know how to use money? If you, let's say, you have the means. Yeah. I always share this last time. My wife also, that day she told me, said, money in the bank is not your money. Agree or not? Huh? Money in the bank not used is not your money. Huh? In your name, but effectively not your money because you never get to use it. Then there's another famous Mandarin saying, 人在天堂,钱在银行. Your human body after death, you believe in a God and a heaven, is up in the heaven. But your money is still in the bank down here. So if you don't know how to use, you end up that way. Huh? You wasted it, actually. Yeah. So the Buddha did actually, in his teaching, mention, he said, in life, there can be 4 types of happiness for lay people. So lay people, you can enjoy 4 types of happiness. So this 4 types of happiness is very important. Yeah? Oh, sorry, there is one part I didn't share with you before we come to the 4 types of happiness. To have the energy to do things we want to do or love to do, we must try to retire early, huh? Unless we need to work. You know what is need to work, isn't it? Yeah, you need money, huh? Or you have to work because you don't know how to retire. A lot of people are very miserable. After they retire, they don't know what to do. They have too much time. So 8 to 5, normally they are occupied and in the office. Suddenly they don't know what to use or what to do. Then if you don't know how to make use of your wealth, your property and your money, there is a possibility that you have to use it in another way. The first type of happiness, the Buddha says, is happiness of possession. When you have earned your wealth, your money or whatever you believe you own through the righteous way or the Dhamma way, then you have a type of joy, a type of happiness. You feel very good in it. Yeah? Because it's from your own hard work, your own endeavor. Then after that, the second type of happiness is very important. The Buddha say, after you have this ability to earn them, means that after you have this happiness of possession, you must know how to use this possession. He said, the happiness, the second type of happiness is happiness of having used the wealth and possession for the good of the many, including yourself and your loved ones. So during this phase, don't be too frugal if you can afford it. Because if you have the Dhamma, you will have Dana Parami. Then money and wealth will come to you. Then you can pamper yourself a bit if you can afford it. I wrote here in the notes, money in the bank is technically not your money until you can use it. Then the other way to use it is, of course, to do charity, generosity, help people, relieve suffering, then pay back your gratitude towards your parents, yeah, your loved one, or whoever who has helped you before. So think of ways, yeah, to use your wealth, yeah, to benefit people, yeah, especially our parents if they are still around. Yeah, you should really spend more time with them, yeah, and ask them what is it that they want to do, yeah, at that age. Yeah. Then you can help them fulfill their dream. They will be very happy. Then even seeing you having this style of understanding and success, they will also be happy and have a lot of joy for you. So these are the happiness you can give to them. And we can do a lot of things. The other thing that people have to remember is the way you use your money while you are still healthy, can travel, can eat, use them. Don't wait till you cannot travel, cannot move, cannot eat. Then you find it very difficult with all the money. They cannot help you much. So there's a famous saying in Cantonese, sang ngao ngao while you are healthy, use your wealth, use your money. Don't wait till you are sick. When you are in the hospital, fan tai li yung. That is the most horrible one. Fan tai li yung means lie down and use money. Oh, that one use very fast though. 1 week or 1 month. The bill, there was one lady, the mother, he sent it in. 1 million sing. I believe some of you must have read about the story. And finally, the mother still passed away. Oh. So, lie down and use also a form of using money. But when you have the means, when you are still young, when you can still travel, can still have the good life, you should do. But not to indulge. Indulgence is bad. Understand? Do what you like to do. Then you must have that joy, the four types of happiness. We just dealt with two. The other one is what? The happiness of being free of debts. When you don't owe people any money, when you don't take advantage of whatever situation. So if you can be generous, clear your debt, then whatever, don't like have any uncleared debts, because karma wise you cannot run. Somehow you have to pay. This life you don't pay, future you have to pay more because compound interest. Then sometimes you cheat the wrong people. If you don't ask for forgiveness, you really have to pay. And pay severely some more. Then the last one is happiness of living a blameless life. Blameless life means the wise people, they don't blame you. When you have the means, means you have the wealth, don't be petty. So whatever that can be resolved by money, you can afford. It's not a real problem. So I have a friend, Sam, he's very good. He said whatever money can resolve, to him is not a problem. If money can resolve, then no more problem. But you must have money. So this part is also Dhamma when you understand. Okay, then 17. Life can be equated to existence, and existence is time related. So to understand life, we need to understand time. True or not? So to live life, we have to go through existence, and existence is time related. So how can we understand life? Time. When we understand time, we will understand life. The whole spectrum of time can be subdivided into past, present and future. The past is already gone, hence not a reality. Future yet to come, also not a reality. The present moment is the only reality and highest in life. But yet the present moment is so transient. Split second, it is gone. Split second is gone. So how real can life be? When you realize this truth, you will realize the true deep meaning of impermanence. When you realize impermanence, you will understand dukkha and anatta. Then to transcend life, you need to even transcend the present moment. To realize the enlightenment, nibbana, which is the unconditioned. As long as we are still within the field of thought, we are not able to transcend life. The important inquiry is, moment to moment life passes by, and that is the only reality. What are you doing? Human beings without wisdom are always heedlessly thinking, planning and worrying about their life. So much so they totally miss out on life. Their mind is never quiet. They are never with the moment in silent awareness to experience the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Which means they never really live life. Instead, they only existed through life. They may be conscious of life, but they are never mindful or aware of the moment. To understand what is going on within the moment or see truth as they really are. So this part is meditation. Then during the question and answer, there were two questions, I think. The first question is, there's a brother who asked, can you explain what you mean by transcending life, including transcending the present moment? This is a very good question. So I answer him in a very nice way. I say the present moment is the only reality and the highest in life. So to transcend life, we have to realize the cessation of form and mind leading to the enlightenment, which is nibbana, which is the unconditioned. That is how we can transcend the present moment. When this happens, our mind ceases and we realize the enlightenment, nibbana, the unconditioned, and goes into the unconditioned state, which is the timeless element, akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time. That's how the Buddhist teaching differ from other religions. It talks about enlightenment in the here and the now. And this enlightenment in the here and the now is very unique. It has nothing to do with the mundane mind. It is about the mundane mind completely ceasing. So that you can realize the timeless, the unconditioned. Then the second question is by a sister. I think this lady asked, he said he heard from a 70-year-old man. Life is scary when one gets old. So she wants to understand what is a good way to manage such fear. Especially fear of separation from loved ones who love and care for you. The answer is, why must you project your thought to arise the fear? Old age, sickness, separation and death are first noble truth realities, which are common to all humanity. The difference between the one who suffers and the one who does not is the one who suffers has self-delusion. They believe they are real and they exist. This self-delusion triggers off attachment and craving. We need to meditate to realize this truth. To realize that our body and mind are just chemically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world. It is impermanent because it is dependent originating. It is a causal phenomenon. Hence, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that we can cling onto and grasp onto and say, this is me, this is I. So do not grasp at it, but use it appropriately with wisdom. Contemplate the five daily contemplation as taught by the Buddha to realize the initial wisdom. Listen to Dhamma. Contemplate and reflect until the Dhamma is very clear. Then when faced with problem, confront it with understanding. Do not project your thought. You will be at peace, and there will be no more fear. The mind will have clarity when it is at peace. Then inquire, who fear? If it's the thought that fear, then that is a wrong thought. Wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, etc. Then cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, have right view to arise the right thought of appreciativeness, contentment, kindness, love, joy, and gratitude. Do inquire, if it's only a thought, how come it can have such power over you? So do not be deceived by such wrong thought again. Strive on with heedfulness to develop the right understanding to free your mind, to live the noble life of deep inner peace, tranquility, happiness, and joy. Don't doubt, because everyone has the potential to be a Sammasambuddha. So this one is very important. Understanding life can help you to develop the ability to live life. Jin Hao, get the chair over. So now we have finished the short notes. My question to you is, by now, do you understand life? And do you know how to plan your life? And make use of this understanding to transform yourself. To develop the good life, the noble life. Okay, who understands? You should try. As a Buddhist, I use the title from a Buddhist perspective. So who wants to start first? Now we cannot call Tammy because she is learning the trick. Anybody? Hey, this is about life. You have to go into it so that you understand. Oh, I changed the question a bit. How many of you know how to live life? After all this explanation, you should become very different, isn't it? Okay, make it easier. As a Buddhist, with this understanding, how are you going to plan your life? First thing, what must you do? Don't tell me you still don't know what to do. What have you been doing all this while? Pass to Alicia. Very good. Sadhu. You all keep on becoming shy. Luckily, Alicia around.
Hello.
Yeah.
Rachel.
Yeah.
First thing, 我觉得是应该 follow the Buddha advice.
Very good. 很好. Very good.
就是 cultivate mindfulness.
Yeah.
Purify 我们的 mind.
Yeah.
Keep 我们的 precept.
Sadhu.
Very good. 然后静静的努力的学佛.
Sadhu. Sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. 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 Very good. 很好. 还有吗?
还有就是 每天要 carry on 我们的 duty. 我们该做的就应该做.
Very good. Yes.
就是
Then after that, learn to live life, understand? 最后一段就是懂得怎样去生活. Understanding life is very important, isn't it? So based on what she has described, which is very good, he said, at least as a Buddhist, to be worthy to be called a Buddhist, or to be called a disciple of the Buddha, or a devotee of the Buddha, you must at least follow his advice, understand, or heed his advice to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. Means cultivate. Keep the precept. Cultivate mindfulness leading to heedfulness. So that you take care of karma. Then karma take care of life. Then when you purify your mind, you develop wisdom. You will be free from all mental suffering. You don't have to suffer anymore. So this is very important. So with this understanding as a Buddhist, you will transform your life. Your life will be different, no longer heedless like before. You have transformed your life from the heedless living to a heedful way of living life. And with this understanding, life becomes meaningful, beautiful, wonderful. Because when you avoid all evil, do good, you take care of karma, you will reap the reward of your good work, your good deeds. Then you will be able to avoid all evil born of breaking the precept, negativity of karma. And when you purify your mind, you develop wisdom leading to enlightenment. Then you understand life. You know how to live life. You can be at any time at peace, happy, full of joy, full of understanding. No more problem with life, no more suffering. That's what a Buddhist should do. And these are the benefits of being a Buddhist. That's why I say as a Buddhist, we are really indeed very blessed and very fortunate. And this is what life is all about. Then like Alicia said, do your duty. You have a lot of duty as a human being. The moment we are born into this world, we have a duty towards our parents who gave us life, who provide for us, care for us, sacrifice for us, and did so much for us. Then we have our duty towards our parents. We have our duty towards society later on. If you get married, towards your family, your spouse, your children. Then you also have your duty towards your employer, your neighbor, or your subordinate. Then to all who have relationship with you, even your Dhamma friends, normal friends, and all beings, including animals, living things, living beings, the non-humans. That's why we share merit, we transfer merit. We have goodness of heart. We develop virtue. When you avoid all evil, do good. You develop virtue. You avoid evil karmic consequence. That is how a Buddhist should develop the understanding of life. Then with the teaching, the Four Noble Truths, you understand the secret of life. You know how to live life. That is most important. Then you get to reap the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. Means you get to live the life of a noble one or an enlightened being. You reap the fruit of your hard work. So cultivating Dhamma, there are three phases. Phase one is Pariyatti, the learning of the teaching. Then after that, you put them into practice, the second phase, pati. Then after you put them into practice, you awaken, then you get to reap the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. Means you get to live the beautiful and wonderful life of an Arya or enlightened being, a noble one. So these are the aspects that you must have as understanding so that you can really understand life and live the beautiful life. Once again, let's thank Alicia. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And these are the understanding that you must have. And it's not easy to express it out in words. Do you know that? You all may thought you know, but when I ask you, you dare not, because you can't express it out. Do you understand? That's why you must cultivate and you can express it out like Alicia. and those who have already developed the cultivation, but they will know what this thing is. But this can make so great a difference to your life. Understand that? That's why in the year 1971, the moment I read about this Four Noble Truths, I never turned back. I go all out to develop the cultivation, the understanding. And also because of my past, my nature. That's why all these things come. Yeah. And because of affinity, yeah, you all should thank Yun Chan. In the year 2004, she came and requested me to come out to share. Otherwise, all this would not happen. Where is Yun Chan? Oh, yeah, still there. Thank you. Hey, every one of you should thank her. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Oh, this one must not forget. Yours is the most important link. Without that one, all the things that happened would never have happened. So now you understand the Buddha's very, very important understanding of causes and conditions. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. So our Kayamita sheep family, how did it arise? Because of condition 15 years ago when Yun Chan came. She came and I rejected it 3 times. I not really rejected, I said never mind, let things be. Means I didn't agree. I said just let it be. Where she, every time after she met me, then we talked a lot, then after that she said, Brother Theo, your Dhamma is so good, you should come out and share. I said, never mind, it's okay, let things be. So on 3 occasions, separate occasions, she requested. Then I said, never mind, let things be. So my reason is, when condition is there, it will arise, it will happen. Then after the 3rd time, something inside my nature, the heart there, talk to me, you know. Hey, it's about time you come out. He said, the condition is all there. Then I got one very serious concern, you know. Because I know living being cannot understand what I teach and what I share. You know, what I understand is the total opposite of what they are doing, the Buddhist community. Then inside there tell me, you know, you've set condition. That is not a serious problem. So that's why after that I reflected. Then my nature came out with that 3 conditions so that it is not harmful to come out to share. That's why I agreed to come out there. Then I contacted Yun Chan as I can, but on 3 conditions. We call it Dhamma sharing, not a one-way traffic. Then no right, no wrong. Then whatever that is beneficial, make use of it. So that we have this respect for each other, each other's cultivation and understanding. Then I realized that type of sharing is meaningful, more genuine, and will not lead to trouble. That's why as I share, I always remind Kayamita, don't quote me. Because I realize you quote me, you get me into a lot of trouble, and you also get into a lot of trouble. So initially, I think not many people understand. But luckily, because I say that, I think most of you all were careful, were tactful, and you all never want to do the thing like other people do. Go and quote me, and get me into trouble, get yourself into trouble. Because the moment you quote me, you use that authority, but you don't understand what I say, you cannot explain, you end up arguing with people. Then you get everybody into trouble. But so far, so good. Touch wood. 15 years, no trouble. There has been a little bit of minor issue that happened. But I told them not to react, not to do anything, because people invite us to that place. Then people let us use that place. So they have every right to tell us that they only accept certain type of condition. So if they feel that we should not continue to share that, it's okay for me, no problem. That's why I say we should thank them for allowing us to use all these places for our sharing for that period that we are so grateful. Then after that, surprisingly, when the condition there no more, other condition unfold. And it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Then it keep on unfolding. That's why it meant to be will be. Whatever that appear to be like initially not favorable, but you do not perceive it with negativity, you can accept the reality of the moment and be at peace with them. Then follow the Noble Eightfold Path. Then you realize the Dhamma will go your way. You just have to accord and flow, no more negativity. Then nothing can happen. Thing is just the way it is. Let things be. Why you want to argue? Why you want to be right? No point. Life is simple. No need to have that negativity of mind state. Who wants to be right? The ego, the personality, the egoic thought. So it is delusion. Right and wrong will not solve your problem. Right and wrong lead to argument, misunderstanding. So don't try to be right. Because right and wrong is relative truth, conventional truth. Do you understand? Well, when we talk about right and wrong, it's right according to who, isn't it? The guy who say all those things, he say he is right. You say he is wrong. But the reality, he is right according to him, understand? So how can you say he is wrong? Do you understand? When you say he is wrong, it's according to you again, understand? Not him. So when you see this, this is delusion. No point. Trying to be right for what? It's according to who? But Dhamma is not right and wrong. Dhamma is to realize the truth, the reality. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions, and you understand that is what is. That is the reality. That is truth. That is seeing things as they are. So no right, no wrong. Thing is just the way it is. Suchness. Ta-ta-ta. And when you understand this, you understand Dhamma. Each year you waver. Everything is conditioned Dhamma. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. Can't be otherwise. You have this understanding, you will awaken. You will always be at peace. You will be beautiful. Then you can transcend all duality. No more problem with life. Okay? Anybody else want to add? Share something. Your understanding of life. Yes, Tammy. Very good. Luckily now Tammy put up her hand already. Can already.
Good evening, Eric. Okay, Mita.
Good
evening, Maratio. I want to share something, not finished yet, but I just share in the middle.
No problem.
Because I was participating in this a performance, a competition. Then I kind of become like kind of the leader of the group.
The leader.
And then the group has this teacher that teach us the choreography, and also got the members of the dancing club, and also those, because the prize money is quite a lot, so
that competition is quite lucrative,
So two of my colleagues joined in. They don't have any dancing base, attracted by the prize money.
The money, prize.
So of course they have their own view, and then my teacher have their own view, and then of course because they don't know, they don't have the basic modeling.
Yeah.
Then it's really a lot of things happening. Mm. Then the teacher have the idea to do things and everything lah.
Okay.
So I'm like the middle person. I need to coordinate.
Yeah, luckily you had the Dhamma. Otherwise, argue already. Yeah,
so
very
a
good.
Lot of times when they speak up, they give a lot of ideas. So
then
of course the teacher have their own. But at the end. If we have faith in the teacher, then sure I.
There will be a solution.
I believe that he will come up with something
correct.
Very beautiful.
Yeah, and you know how to resolve them amicably. That's what Dhamma is all about. Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, so it's like when they say, okay, never mind, you just wait and see. So actually, wait and see gives time for things to happen and then
to unfold.
Then a lot of time they have.
Then
like
a lot of good ideas come from brainstorming, discussion. If you do it sincerely with understanding, then each and every idea will evolve into something beautiful. Just like question, no such thing as a wrong question or a stupid question. Because question is to trigger off condition for my nature to share. That's it. Very good.
So it's really like at first a lot of they have query, they have doubt, and then at the end when we see a teacher, we discuss.
Then the whole thing unfolds beautifully.
Then because we have few weeks, so continuously they are having doubts and because
then you need to clear all this out.
Yeah.
That's why having a good teacher is very important, who can guide you along. So what she shared is very good, Tammy, Sadhu. So finally, you all got the prize.
Not yet, it's in December. So
not yet. Still working towards it. Wishing you all
the
best. In the final already. The probability higher and higher. Sadhu, let us give our blessing. Sadhu. Very good. So always remember, when you have the Dhamma, you will know how to resolve issue amicably. Life is about solving problem, not to create problem. Understand? Resolve issue amicably and move on. So that no one is hurt. So that everybody is happy, peaceful. That is life. That is Dhamma. Without the ego, you are most beautiful. Without the evil roots of selfishness, emotional negativity, greediness, envy, jealousy, negativity of my state, you are beautiful. That's why the one with Dhamma, they are very different. He who has the Dhamma has the wisdom, has the understanding to live life. To become a blessing to all. They have great wisdom, great understanding, and they have virtue. That's why they are different. Enlightened beings are very different in that sense. Very good. Sadhu. Let us rejoice one more time. Sadhu. Anybody else want to add anything or share anything? Such interesting topic, nobody want to participate. PG, is smiling already. She got something to share already. Actually, she changed a lot. Last time her viewer, PG has changed a lot for the better.
Last time my view is very rich. If I believe it is that way, it has to be that way. Especially when I'm working. No other way.
Brother,
you say, with the Dhamma, I tend to see things a bit differently. And now it's like when things happen, I do not react so
Not like before.
So fast. But sometimes I think myself, still got a lot of work to do.
You are more patient. Then you can understand things better. Then you know how to resolve issue. Now the focus is resolving issue. That is most important. If you have that skill, you become a very good staff. You can become a good leader.
I would say that my present supervisor in this project, he probably benefit a lot from my Dharma learning.
Wow, very good, very good.
Probably because I'm not so hard on him.
Yeah.
So I tried to be
reasonable.
To lead, but at the same time not to be so pushy.
Yeah.
And life is more calm.
Yeah.
And not so stressful.
Very good.
Yeah. And like you say, sometimes when things happen, you wait for things to how to say
unfold.
Yeah, to unfold. Maybe that's the word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And surprisingly, a lot of times when you see the no answer in front of you, if you give a little bit more time, things can happen
suddenly,
in
a
very surprising way.
Yeah.
Somebody will step in to help you, or something will happen.
Sadhu.
Sometimes I look at it and I laugh too much.
Yeah, it will unfold beautifully. You see, Dhamma is so beautiful, and you must remember this. This is the golden teaching. Whenever things don't go your way, or when things are very, very apparently negative, never get angry. Never become emotional. Then things will turn around. The moment you get angry with the evil root, you are dead and gone. Then more negative things will come. But when you have the patience, the understanding, and when you do not react, when you accept the reality of the moment, then reflect with a clear mind, with the Dhamma understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path, everything will go your way. I can tell you. This is from personal experience. You know, when I never react to anything, I realize things turn around. Like PG experience. Miraculously, something will happen. And suddenly, you will understand. Then it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Whatever that is meant to be, will be. Yeah. So initially, a lot of people don't understand. Say, oh, it's die already. Huh? Terrible thing has happened. Ayo, why so sweet and all those things. But when you have the Dhamma, you understand this is a reality. Condition like that, things for you like that. Then there is a reason for it. But the beauty about Dhamma is because your parami is so good, because you have lived your life in accordance with the Dhamma, with that wisdom and the understanding, then whatever that happened, which may apparently initially be perceived as very negative, will turn out to be a blessing in disguise. And Master Xuan Huang also learned that. So I remember in the early days, he used to say something in Mandarin. The meaning is like, whatever that arise and happen may look very negative initially. Correct or not, the Mandarin word? Means when something happened initially, it's like, it's not good, not right. But if you were not to react to it, if you do not perceive it in negativity, then you perceive it with Noble Eightfold Path and resolve it, then it will turn out to be a blessing in disguise. That is the meaning of his words at that time. I remember the 1980s, I think 86 that time. It was in 1986. But I did his recording. And he speak that type of Mandarin, China, Taiwan. And my wife, Chinese school, sometimes also, she says she cannot understand what he say. But very funny, you know, I am more chat on English educator. When it comes to Dhamma, I understand him. You know. Sometimes I only need the explanation of the meaning of that words, the Mandarin word. Once you tell me the meaning, I will know what he meant already. So that is the beauty of Dhamma. Whatever that happened initially, it may not look proper. He said it's like not the proper Dhamma. Like everything go wrong. Not right. But if you do not react to it, do not perceive it as negativity, then you were to approach it using the Dhamma way, following Noble Eightfold Path, to resolve things amicably, to resolve issue amicably, then everything will turn out to be a blessing in disguise. And there will be no more problem. So Dhamma is like that. But the moment you react and get angry or become fearful, these are evil roots. Roots of all evil. Make you evil. Then your lack of wisdom, lack of spiritual faculty, would create condition for negativity or karma to arise. That's why the situation becomes worse and worse and worse. The more you get angry, until you are so angry, the foul word everything also come out, I tell you, your good day is no more. Misery will follow you. Can never react. Always remember. I used to tell you all, no matter what happened, don't get angry. Cannot. Don't develop the fear. Don't become unhappy. Cannot. Yan. Even when your boss call you upside down, don't get angry, smile. And you need to say sorry. Say sorry, apologize. You have done something that is not proper. I would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. It's not my intention. Really, apologize. Then you can you follow that. There's a TV show last time. The Indian guy who learned English, he always tell the English teacher. What is the English teacher's name? Brown. Mr. Brown. 1,000 apology. The Indian guy from India. When you say 1,000 apology, people feel very good. Oh, this guy apologized to me 1,000 times. So in the early days, I like to see that comedy, that comedy, Mr. Brown, the English teacher. His English is very good. Then his student all over the world, chop choy, ABC. They got Indian, they got Sing, they got Chinese, they got Vietnamese also. Spanish also have. So that class, that show was very fun. I like that comedy. Because their English is related to our Asian English. Our already mixed already, no longer the authentic UK one. Ours one is mixed with all the dialect and all those things. And in Singapore, it becomes Singlish. Malaysia is called what? Manglish. 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 Singlish, Manglish. So our English, I think the UK authentic one cannot understand. When you go on the taxi, if they nearly had an incident, they say, my brake not eat. My brake no eat. So the floor confused. They say, what? Your brake eat? Eat what? Because we all translate from our dialect. Our dialect is brake bochi. It means the grip is not there. So a lot of things they can't understand. You okay ka? Can la. What is the meaning? The question don't understand. Okay. So if it's no more, then we continue a bit from the book. We still got 10 minutes, Okay, turn to page 612. The four Brahma Vihara state, the sublime state. Rare is birth as a human being. Hard is the life of a mortal. Do not let slip this opportunity. Wow! There is a Dhammapada saying on this. Must go and find out which Dhammapada verse. Rare is the birth of a human being. Zansen Nanta. Zansen Nanta. 佛法难闻。Then heart is the life of a mortal. Means this human form, which is a mortal human being. Mortal means it can die. Immortal means doesn't die. So heart is the life of mortals. Do not let slip this opportunity, means this sasana. Okay? Man is a mysterious being with inconceivable potentiality. Agree or not? Are you mysterious? But you have inconceivable potential, do you know that? Latent in him are both saintly characteristic and criminal tendency. So which one do you choose? Which one do you choose? Choose the former, not the latter. They may rise to the surface and at unexpected moment in disconcerting strength. How they originated, we know not. We only know that they are dormant in man in varying degree. Within the powerful mind, in this complex machinery of man, are also found a storehouse of virtue and a rubbish heap of evil. See? If you store rubbish, then you become rubbish. If you store virtue, wisdom, you become virtuous and wise. With the development of the respective characteristic, man may become either a blessing or a curse to humanity. So which one you choose to be? Those who wish to be great, noble and serviceable, who wish to sublimate themselves and serve humanity both by example and by precept, and who wish to avail themselves of this golden opportunity as human beings, endeavor their best to remove the latent vices and to cultivate the dormant virtue. To dig up precious gem embedded in the earth, man spend enormous sum of money and make laborious effort, and sometimes even sacrifice their life. But to dig up the valuable treasure latent in man, only persistent effort and enduring patience are necessary. Even the poorest man or woman can accomplish this task for wealth. It's not an essential prerequisite to the accumulation of transcendental treasure. It is strange that the vices latent in man seems to be almost natural and spontaneous. This one reminds me of a saying. I think Canon is saying, to learn to be naughty very fast. Learn to be good, very difficult. Sin hok wai. Chung mei tai so sin hok wai. Before you grow up, you already learn the naughty thing. So they say, to learn all the foul language, all the negativity of things, it's like no need to be trained, no need teacher. You naturally learn very fast. But to develop virtue and to change is normally more difficult. So here, the author also say correctly, it's strange that the vices latent in man seems to be almost natural and spontaneous. It is equally strange that every vice possesses its opposite sterling virtue, which does not, however, appear to be so normal and automatic, though still within the range of all. One powerful destructive vice in man is anger. Do you realize that? That's why just now what I advise you. No matter what happened, don't get angry. Kenna. Don't react. Don't become fearful. The sweet virtue that subdues this evil force and sublime man is loving kindness, metta. Cruelty, himsa, is another vice that is responsible for many horrors and atrocities. Atrocity, prevalent in the world. Compassion or karuna is the antidote for cruelty. That's why you must develop compassion. Then jealousy, isa, is yet another vice that poisons one's system and lead to unhealthy rivalry and dangerous competition. The most effective remedy for such poisonous drug or negativity of mind state is appreciative joy or sympathetic joy called mudita. When you rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, that is rejoicing, mudita, sympathetic joy. There are two other universal characteristics that upsets the mental equipoise of man. They are attachment to the pleasurable and aversion to the non-pleasurable. These two opposite forces can be eliminated by developing upekkha or equanimity. These are the four sterling virtues, and they are collectively termed in Pali as Brahma Vihara, which may be rendered by the modes of sublime conduct, sublime states, or divine abodes. All Brahmas have these four Vihara. You know what is a Vihara? It's like a temple. So they abide in these four types of sublime state. First, loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and upekkha, or equanimous mind, equanimity of mind. These virtues tend to elevate man. They make one divine in this life itself. They can transform man into a superman. If all try to cultivate them, irrespective of creed, color, race, and sex, the earth can be transformed into a paradise where all can live in perfect peace and harmony as ideal citizens of the world. So very true. If everybody can have this four Brahma Vihara state, then the world is peaceful, beautiful. Irrespective of religious belief, one can cultivate this sweet virtue and be a blessing to one another. Metta, the first one, loving kindness. The first sublime state is metta. It means that we soften one's heart or the state of the true, of a true friend. It is defined as the sincere wish for the well-being or welfare and genuine happiness of all beings, without exception. It is also explained as the friendly disposition for a genuine friend sincerely wishes for your well-being. Just as a mother protects their only child, even at the risk of her life, even so, one should cultivate boundless loving kindness towards all beings, is the advice of the Buddha. So, another English rendering of metta or universal loving kindness is universal love. Universal love is just love, no opposite. Means pure metta. We better end. Okay, so we end at page 615. So at least we cover two pages, two or three pages. Okay. So we will share merit, transfer merit, then you can make your aspiration. Akasata ca bumata Deva naga mahindika Punyang tang anamo ditwa Cirang rakantu loka sasana Itta wata ca amehi Sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anamo dantu Sabba sampati sidiya Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Devo wasatu kalena Sasa sampati heto ca Fito bawatu loko ca Raja bawatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones, eh? Then we end. Thank you.